I saw a video on YouTube recently that I found absolutely hilarious. It was a cartoon with the title This Way Up, about two funeral directors endeavouring to take a body to its final resting place. There was no sound, just the cartoon of their antics as they tried to keep the coffin the right way up. We do need frequently to be reminded to keep these things the right way up, that all of this is about Jesus, not about us. And in this chapter, we'll be looking at which way is up, hence its title, This Way Up. God has such a gentle, beautiful sense of humour. He wants us to see things from his perspective, not ours. Top down, not bottom up. He's the creator, we are the created. This may result in some heart searching and the slaughter of a few sacred cows, belief systems being upset and challenged, and a total rethink about who you are and where you really fit, where you find your security, identity and belonging, and find rest for your souls once and for all. It may be difficult, but as Graham Cook is wont to say, it will be hugely enjoyable if you let it. In John 16:12, Jesus said this, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now." So says Jesus to the disciples as he bids them farewell and goes to the cross. They'd been with him night and day for 3.5 years, but they still had some growing to do. At that time they couldn't take, neither were they equipped to take, what he needed to say to them. "Follow me," he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Remembering, beloved, death precedes life. Follow me and keep following, but first tarry in Jerusalem until. They were born again, but they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power before they could take the strong truth that most of them would be martyred for his cause. We have to be of full age, attain a certain level of maturity, before we can take some of the truths Jesus wants to impart to us. Until now, I've been feeding you milk. I didn't want to give you indigestion. Now I will expect you to be sufficiently engaged to look up some of the scripture references for yourself, so I won't quote them all. I'll give you the pleasure of searching them out for yourselves, grow you up a little. A piece of advice I heard many years ago was never tailor your message to suit your hearers. With the message I carry and the assignment I have right now, this would be very easy for me to do at this point, tailor the message to tickle your ears. When the sermon really gets to grips with us, it radically challenges our thoughts, beliefs and lifestyles. As I said before, it's intensely practical. It hits us right where we live and it supremely challenges us. It calls us to account and it asks us to make radical changes to the way we live. It asks us to grow up in God, not to remain where we are, but to grow to the place where we can take strong truth. It challenges us to come out and be separate, 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. To be renewed in the spirit of our minds, Romans 12:1-2. To be separated to God and his thinking and perceiving, not our own. To look at life from a heavenly perspective, not an earthly one. To change our position and our perspective. To live from where the Father has placed us, in his Son, Ephesians 2:6. It's the Ten Commandments written on the inside, 4 towards God and 6 towards others. I cannot emphasize too strongly, you cannot live this in your own strength. You will fall into legalism and become more of a Pharisee than you already are if you try. It brings change from the inside out. It's only in his strength and by his spirit and his power you can live in the place of which he speaks. In Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, the Pantocrator, the most powerful of all the powerful ones, the nurturer, sustainer, and upholder of all things. The warrior king comes to us now and he asks the question, will you be part of my movement? Forget the baby in the manger. This is the real deal. More tomorrow then. That is if you are still with me.